Amen. Good morning, Church of the City.
Good morning. How's everybody doing? So you must be the real Christians because you came to church on playoff Sunday. Amen. Amen. So I thank God for your commitment to the kingdom. Amen. Amen. Don't anybody tell me the score. Amen. Amen. So thank God. Thank God for you all being here today. We want to talk to you today just briefly about, I heard Simon's been talking about pickles and all this kind of stuff around this church. He preached last week about understanding who I am in Christ. And as we started the year off, it's very important that you understand who you are in Christ. It's critical. But even more important than understanding who you are in Christ is you need to understand that Christ did not save you to be a me. Christ saved you to be a we. Okay, let me say it again. Christ did not save you to be a me. He saved you to be a we, right? In our world today, everybody's all about me, right? My agenda, my time, my self-care, all this kind of stuff. But when we think about kingdom dynamics, when we think about what Christ has really called us into, he has called us away from a life of me, and he's called us into a life of we. Amen? Amen. Repeat after me. Say, I have been called to be a we, not a me. Now, this is how simple it is. This arm right here is nothing by itself, right? If I take this arm off and my arm decides to have an attitude today and says, you know what? I'm tired of everybody. I just want to go do my own thing. And this arm just decides to go sit over there on the ground. How long is that arm going to survive? Not long. Because it is designed to be a we, not a me. Amen. So every last one of us in here today have to understand that if we are to thrive, if we are to be who God has called us to be, if we are to be the church that God has called us to be, we have got to understand that foundationally that relationships matter. Amen. Trusted relationships matter. There's no way you should go to church with people you don't like. Right? There's no way you should be in the body of the local body and you say, man, I can't stand those people. Well, what are you doing there? Right? The whole point of this thing is that God has sent Jesus Christ to reconcile us. There was a broken relationship. You guys know that, right? The sin broke the relationship, not simply between us and God, but it broke the relationship between humanity. And he sends Jesus Christ into the world to not simply to restore us back to God, but to restore us back to each other, right? This is when people talk to me about all this anti-racism stuff and all this kind of stuff. I say, oh, Jesus already took care of that. And if you just follow Jesus, it'll be taken care of, amen? Because in him, there is no Jew, there is no Greek, there is no poor, there is no rich, there is no black, there is no white, but he has made all of us one. So he has called me from a me into a we, and I can't sit there and be in a body of believers and build trusted relationships if I don't accept that. Right? I tell people all the time, we do a lot of work across the city in a lot of different capacities, and there is no place for me that is better than the body of believers, right? Out there, I can expect some things. I can expect some racism. I can expect bigotry. I can expect sexism. I can expect all of that stuff because they have yet to come to know Jesus. But if you tell me you know Jesus, if you tell me you belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, if you tell me you live for the lily of the valley and the bright and morning star, I believe like what Simon said in his sermon last week, that if any man be in Christ, if any person be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things became new. You might not have liked a certain group of people before you came to Jesus, but when you came to Jesus, he changes your mind, amen? You might not have liked the fellowship with a group of people before God saved your life. But when you come to Jesus, he helps you understand that my brother is brown, my brother is Asian, my sister is black, my sister is Latino, my sister is Cuban, my whole family looks like the kingdom, amen? So you cannot exist in the body of believers if you do not have trusted relationships. And foundationally, I'm in the book of Acts today. So you can, Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. You can look at that later. We look at this formation of the early church, and everybody reads about it, and we talk about how great they were, and I'm gonna read this a little bit of that, because everybody's like, oh my God, that just sounds great, that sounds great. And I tell people all the time, that is not something that is like, you know, well off in the distance, but it's actually something that we are supposed to be, right? When you're saved and you're brought into the body, this is what it's actually supposed to look like. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. And now all the believers were together and had all things in common. Now all the believers were together and had all things in common. In this body of believers, they would come in, and the church theme was, we are family, right? All my brothers, sisters, and me, right? That's a church song, okay? They stole that from us, amen? Right, that's our song, right? Because nobody does it like the church. Nobody does it like the body of believers. Nobody can make people who come from different walks of life, different hurts, different experiences, different geography, and make us one like Jesus. Have I witnessed today? Amen? Amen. Some of you are married to people that you never thought you'd be married to. And then Jesus was like, look, I'm going to get you this tall, sexy white guy. Simon paid me $20 to say that. Amen. And now I can go back to the text. Amen. But we are in places and in relationships with people that we never thought, because God does that. And these young people from Fort Morgan, I look at them and I say, man, you guys are the champions of the gospel. You're the champions to go into the world, to let the world know in Jesus, there is no black, there is no white, there is no brown, there is no rich, there is no poor. But all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we all need Jesus. Amen. And you guys are empowered to be this generation that goes forward and say, hey, we know a man that can heal every wound of humanity. We know every wound, a man who can set right all the crooked straights. We know a man who can do this. And you guys are now these amazing champions who are empowered to go into the world and say, we know somebody who can bring it all together. Not politics, right? They'll fail us, right? Not the wisdom of man, it will fail us. Not the philosophies of man, it will fail us. But Jesus will never fail. Amen. Have I witnessed? Amen. Jesus will never fail. So here in the text, so relationships are fundamentally key, right? And not just any kind of relationships, but trusted relationships. And you have to build trusted relationships because, as Simon has said, those of you who've been paying attention, we are all pickles in a pickle jar, right? I read the devotionals that Simon puts out there. I know some of you don't. You should get on there, right? It's a good thing on social media. I at least give him one or two likes, right? I share it with a couple of friends, right? But a great devotional he wrote this past week, I think it was day 4, he talked about the pickle jar and how we, you know, when we come to Christ, we're this cucumber, right? And then all of a sudden we get baptized in this brine, and all of a sudden this cucumber turns into something, I think, more delicious than it was before, right? Exactly, agreement, right? You're no longer this kind of tasteless cucumber. So you got to soak a cucumber in ranch before it's actually good, right? But a pickle, woo, slap me, right? Give me a good pickle, right? So Simon says, you become this cucumber, then all of a sudden you get baptized and now you're a pickle. But the thing is, you are good when you are in the pickle jar with other pickles. And you are in the pickle jar with other pickles to help the world get out of their pickle and their predicament. Right? We are pickles getting the world out of their pickle. The pickle of sin, the pickle of addiction, the pickle of doubt, the pickle of fear. All of those pickles, the pickles help the people get out of the pickles. Right? So y'all didn't even know Simon preached all of that in his devotional. Y'all missed it, amen? But this is who we are. We are called for such a time as this, not to be siloed individuals, but to be a collective of people who understand we are the body of Christ. And the world needs us to be who we were born again to be. Amen? But let me tell you something about this trusted relationship. The thing about trusted relationships, they don't just happen, right? They don't just happen. But we find out in the text, in Acts chapter 2, before all of that good, happy stuff was happening in verse 42 through 47, there was all these things that were happening earlier in the text in Acts chapter 2
And the first thing that happened in Acts chapter 2 is what made them establish trusted relationships is because they all shared a feeling, okay? And I don't mean F-E-E-L-I-N-G. I mean a feeling, F-I-L-L-I-N-G. Because the F-E-E-L-I-N-G will get you in trouble, okay? We got too many people in the church nowadays who are in their feelings. Too many people in the church who are just so soft and always complaining and moaning, and that's my seat. Why is she sitting in it? She knows that's my song. Why is she singing in it, right? That's my ministry. Why? We got all of these people who are in their feelings, and the church becomes moved in so many different wrong directions because it is catering to the feelings, F-E-E-L-I-N-G, of people rather than being moved by the filling, F-I-L-L-I-N-G, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. See, we've got a lot of folks. I tell folks when I share this sermon in another place, I said, when people are operating in their feelings, it frustrates the people who lead a congregation who are hoping that they would be filled so we can move forward. You cannot move forward in your feelings if you are not filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of you right now are miserable because every day what leads your life are feelings that are not under the submission of your feeling by the Holy Spirit. Some of you are feeling defeated right now because that feeling of defeat has trumped the feeling of the Holy Spirit. If we are to be who God has called us to be, if we are to have trusted relationships within the body of believers, I need to count on the fact that you've been filled up with the power of the Holy Spirit. I need to know that when I come to you to ask you to intercede for me, when I come and ask you to intercede for my children, for my grandchildren, I need to know that you have been filled with the good stuff. You know that 91, that premium unleaded, amen. Don't give me none of that cheap 85. Give me that premium stuff, amen. I need to know that the people that I call brother and sister within the body of Christ, I can build trusted relationships with you because you are filled with the Holy Spirit, amen. We get in trouble because of our feelings. I was telling my daughter about this if you're a pastor's kid, you get to hear the sermon 20 times before it gets preached. And so that's why you don't want to go to church, because you're like, Dad, I done already heard that 20 times, right? And so as I was talking to my daughter about this, she said, had a great revelation. She said, Dad, you know what? It is so right on, because she's newly married 2 years in. And she says, it's right on, because every day I get up and my feelings tell me to yell at my husband. I said, right when you get up? She said, yes, right when I get up. I said, well, what has he done? She said, nothing, but I feel like I need to tell him about something. I said, baby girl, you can't do that. You ain't gonna stay married that long if every day your feelings get up and tell you, I need to yell at this man about something I don't know he did that he might do and he might do. Oh no, baby girl. I said, so look, take this 60-day journey with me. We've been doing this, I think we're in day 10. And take this 60-day journey with me, and I want you to practice to get up in the morning and say, Holy Spirit, fill me so that my feelings don't mess me up. Holy Spirit, fill me so my feelings don't mess me up. And so I talked to my son-in-law, and I said, hey, how are things going? He goes, you know what? I have gotten 13 compliments from your daughter this week. I said, 13? He said, yes, I don't believe it. He goes, because usually, now he doesn't know if she and I talk. He said, because usually every morning I get up and she will say something like, are you going to get up and go to work yet? Did you pack your lunch yet? And she's just nagging and nagging and nagging. And he goes, but over the last 10 days, this woman has gotten up and the Holy Spirit has spoken through her. And every day I leave the house and I'm happy to go, but I can't wait to come back home. I said, well, when we are filled with the Spirit, we are developing trusted relationships. In Acts chapter 2, it was Pentecost, right? 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, Pentecost was going on. And the thing that happened on Pentecost, those of you who study the scripture understand that they were
doing their church thing, and there was a hall, there was a gathering of a diverse group of people from almost every nation and almost every tongue. And here were the believers, those who were in the way, and the Spirit of God falls on them. We hear this mighty rushing wind, and the scenario is that you have all of the nation there, you have all of these tongues there, you have all of these people from all these different places, but the people who were filled with the Spirit began to speak in such a way that everybody in that place, though they had diverse tongues, although they were from different places, all of them heard in their own language when the people who were filled began to pour out. Amen. When we are filled and we begin to pour out, God does amazing things. But we've got to be filled so God can pour out to a community that is in desperate need of us to pour out. But God can't pour from an empty pitcher. You've got to ensure that you are being filled daily. You've got to ensure that you are committed to the things that they talked about, that they were committed to the apostles' teaching. They were committed to healthy fellowship. They were committed to prayer. They were committed. They were committed. They were committed. It was not just a Sunday thing. If it is just a Sunday thing, that explains why you are grumpy Monday through Saturday. If it's just a Sunday thing, it makes sense. Why can't nobody stand you when you ain't here? But if we are being filled with him daily, moment to moment, right? I need that moment to moment feeling. Amen. I need God. I need your presence with me every step of the way. I need your presence with me every time, every thought. I need your presence with me because, God, I want everything that comes out, the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, to be acceptable to you, God. So the only way that can happen is if you have filled me up. Anybody want to be filled? Amen. Fill me up, the songwriter says, till I overflow. I want to run over, right? Fill me up until I overflow. That's the whole point. God, fill me up so that anybody walking by me gets hit with it. Anybody in the King Supers as I'm shopping, boom, oh, they say, what is that? Spirit got you, right? While I'm at work with that boss that everybody struggles with, fill me up till I overflow. You working. All of a sudden, that mean manager just comes in and says, man, you know what? God bless you. Or not even God bless you, but great job on that report. And you say, this person ain't never said, fill me up till I overflow. You got some kids that's acting crazy in your school, at home, wherever. Fill me up till I overflow, right? You want the filling of God to overflow so that wherever you go, people feel his presence. Amen. Say, wherever I go, I want them to feel his presence. Say, whatever I say, I want them to hear his presence. Say, whatever I do, I want them to know his presence because I've been filled by him. See, let me tell you this. Shoot, this is between us because we're all filled people. I don't trust nobody who ain't filled. Okay, I love everybody, but I don't trust folks who ain't filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if they are filled with something else, they ain't gonna manifest what the Holy Spirit would manifest. If they're filled with this, this, and this, then they're going to manifest this, this, and this. It's usually contrary to what the Holy Spirit wants to see manifested. So I got to be careful. We got to be careful who we line ourselves up with. We got to be careful who we yoke ourselves up with. We have to be careful that we know that bad company corrupts good morality. Be careful that you have not joined yourself up with spirits that ain't his, right? You got to try the Spirit by the Spirit. Amen. Secondly today, look, not only did they have this shared feeling, but also in the text of Acts chapter 2, these folks had a fearless public witness. I love this, right? They had a fearless public witness. Why they had trusted relationships with each other is because they know they were on field, but wasn't nobody scared. Right? We just have folks go out the other day, and like as Pastor Simon said, they went out and they shared the gospel. They went out and they told the community about Jesus Christ. Look, you cannot be in this family and be scared to talk about Jesus.
That's why we're here, right? You can't be in this family and be afraid to tell your testimony. We know where you've been, but we thank God for where he's brought you. And you gotta be able to tell the world, I used to be, but God has delivered. I used to be, but God has healed. I used to be broken, but God has restored. See, we build trusted relationships when we all run out to the streets and say, said I wasn't gonna tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. Said I wasn't gonna tell anybody about how he picked me up out of the muck and the miry clay and set my feet on a rock to say, I said I wasn't gonna do it, but I can't keep it to myself. When Christ has been as good as he has been to you, you can't stay silent, right? Come on, I want you to think about it right now. See how quiet you can be. Think about three things that God has done in your life, and I want to see how quiet you can be. Oh, you see, somebody got it. Somebody got it, right? Oh, yeah, yeah, start thinking about it. Is your heart beating? Oh, yeah, somebody shouldn't be quiet about that. Is your mind able to process some things right? Oh, you shouldn't be quiet about that, right? Right? Hey, is your family safe? Has God provided for you? Has God put food on your table? Has God put clothing on your back? Has God provided for you? Has God done great things? Then let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In times in such as we live, we cannot be afraid to talk about Jesus. We cannot be afraid to share the gospel that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by him. We cannot be afraid to tell our testimony. To say, I was a beggar, and he found me. I was broken, and he healed me. I was desperate, and he delivered me. We build trusted relationships when all of us are fearless when it comes to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also in that Acts chapter 2 text, they established trusted relationships because they were feeding on good food. Y'all know we like to eat. As you can see, Simon and I, though we're slimming down, we both like to eat, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Simon's got this nice barbecue grill, the Traeger, right? What's one of yours is not called a Traeger? What is yours? What's your barbecue grill at the house? Pit Boss, right? Make some good stuff. I'd have had some good stuff. Not enough, so you know, another invite would be nice. But some good stuff has come out of that thing, right? And we like to eat. Everybody in here likes to eat, just raise your hands, okay. Right? Some of us, we like to eat too much, right? But let me tell you this. The reason why they had trusted relationships within that body of believers is because they were feeding on the truth of the gospel. Okay? We've got too many folks out here who are eating what I call Twinkies of the gospel, right? They're eating the junk food of the gospel. That kind of sounds like it, but it ain't it, right? And they're not forming, they're not growing the way that they should because they are not dining on the truth of the gospel. You ought to thank God every day that you have solid preaching, solid teaching in church in the city, amen? You ought to thank God every day for the solid preaching and teaching of the word of God because this is what happens. When you feed on the right thing, the right thing comes out, amen? When you feed on the right thing grows up. This is what we understand here, that when the truth about Jesus is preached, it breaks us. When the truth about Jesus is preached, it beckons us. When the truth about Jesus is preached, it betters us. When the truth about Jesus is preached, it builds us. When the truth about Jesus is preached, it binds us. But it must be the truth about Jesus. Do not water him down. Do not sugarcoat him. Do not make him applicable to the culture of the day. He is Jesus, high and lifted up. He is Jesus, the mighty one, the holy one, the righteous one. He is Jesus. And when we preach the gospel of Jesus, the wounded are made whole. The captive are set free. Those who are lost are found, but only when we preach the truth about Jesus. My grandfather used to say, sometimes you hear the truth about Jesus, it's tight, but it's right. What's that mean? That means sometimes you're gonna hear some truth about Jesus that tells you the truth about you. And you may not like it initially, But you ought to praise God for those times where the Holy Spirit does its job and convicts you and then comforts you and guides you to live the life that God has given you. We don't always want the truth. You know, sometimes people ask questions like, hey, do you think this dress makes me look fat? And I'm not answering that question. Not. Every man, don't answer that question. No, baby, you look good in everything. Leaving it alone, right? But the truth is the truth. And you cannot build trusted relationships if you do not have truth. See, we could be like everyone else and we could water down the gospel. We could make it palatable so that everybody feels comfortable in their sin. We could make it palatable so that everybody feels like there's no need to transform, that there's no need to be renewed in their mind. We could do that and you could pack them in and you can have attendance through the roof every week. But that's only if you compromise the truth. What I love about this that we read in the text is that they preach the truth. And if you go further in the text, it says it was through the preaching of the truth that 3,000 were added in one day. So the best church growth strategy is somebody tell the truth. Amen. Because if you tell the truth, the Lord will add to the church those daily who should be saved. We don't need no gimmicks. We just need the truth. Stand flat-footed on it and say, this is the word of God. And as he is lifted up, he will draw all unto himself. But we've got to be committed to the truth. It's a civil rights song. You say, don't you sell me no broccoli and tell me it's greens. I know the difference between broccoli and some good collard greens. I don't care what you do to that broccoli. You can't convince me that that broccoli is collard greens because I know the truth, right? And so it's the same thing about Jesus. Once we've met the blessed Savior, once we've come to know him and grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, can't nobody sell me a lie about Jesus because I already know the truth. Amen? You've got to know that you must know the truth, and it's the truth about Jesus that builds trusted relationships. Lastly, this morning, what helped them to build trusted relationships was the frequency and the focus of their fellowship. Okay? The frequency and the focus of their fellowship. As we read the text, they got together daily, right? Daily, right? Imagine that. There's some people in here you don't want to see for the hour that you got to see them. Right? But here in the text, they were getting together daily, house to house. They were going from each other's houses, and what were they doing? They weren't just hanging out watching the game. They weren't just hanging out playing pickleball. That's my dig since he's out of town, right? They weren't just doing all that kind of stuff, but what they were doing was they were focused in their time together. They understood that as believers, iron is supposed to sharpen iron, and we should never waste an opportunity to sharpen each other. We should never waste an opportunity to build each other up. We should never, ever waste an opportunity to open up the Word and study it together, to pray together, to worship together. Simon is one of the best worship leaders in the nation, right? But I don't need Simon to worship. We might get together at your house, and we just might start lifting our hands, right? We might get together right here with these young people from Fort Morgan and start lifting our hands because we are supposed to act that way when we have time with each other. Let me tell you something. Who you spend your time with is going to impact how you live. Okay? Birds of a feather flock together, right? And if you want to be salt, light, and a city on a hill, then you've got to spend time with other people who want to be salt, light, city on a hill. As I said to my niece who's having her dry January, and I hope she stays dry January through December, amen? But she's having her dry January, and I support her, and I tell her, I say, girlfriend, sister, my little girl, let me tell you what I need you to do. If you want to stay out for the alcohol, don't hang out with your friends who are the alcoholics, okay? And I don't mean don't witness to them, don't love them, don't share with them, but if you know they are going to go drinking, don't go with them. because you know that that eventually is going to influence you and you are going to be back in a space that you don't want to be in. Okay, you have to say, who am I frequently fellowshipping with? And when I'm frequently fellowshipping with them, what is our focus? Are we focused on Christ? Are we focused on building each other up? Are we focused about the great things that God can do? What are we focused on? And let me help us out. Some of us grew up in a different time, and I'm not 84 as much as Simon said that. Okay, just 47, amen. And you know, I will take the 84 because I look good for 84, right? Right. But what I have to tell folks is I remember a time as I was growing up, I spent more time in the church than I did anywhere. Right? My grandmother, my grandfather, my mom, they joked and said, we had a drug problem, right? Because we would get drugged to Sunday school. We would get drugged to Bible study. We would get drugged to Sunday worship, right? We would get drugged to our Baptist training. We would get drugged all these places all the time. And I spent more time in the house of God with the people of God as a young person with the elders. And it was no surprise to me that the formation in my life took on a very different path than those friends of mine who wanted to hustle in the streets. The friends of mine who wanted to make choices to do other things that did not honor God. It did not surprise me as I got older that my pathway went a different way because of the choice that I made for my frequency and the focus of my fellowship. And I say to these young people specifically, again, the Bible says bad company corrupts good morality. So you need to say, who am I frequently hanging out with? And who am I focused? What are we focused on when we hang out? If you are a lady in the church and you got some friends, some girlfriends that y'all frequently hang out with, and the focus of your hangout time is gossip, y'all need to stop hanging out. Hear what I'm saying? Because even though that frequency is good, the focus is not good, right? And then we sometimes get the focus right. Hey guys, we're gonna have a small group and we're gonna meet on Thursdays, right? And we're gonna meet for an hour on Thursday, and that's great. And we're gonna meet, you know, 4 times a month, but we all know I need 10 times a month in the situation I'm in, right? I need some greater frequency, right? So you've got to balance both the frequency of it and the focus of it if you are to build trusted relationships. Work with a group, Celebrate Recovery group, and the gentleman in the Celebrate Recovery group say, look, if we can have the doors open every day, I appreciate it. I say, every day, well, right? But I had to become sensitive and compassionate to the fact that this person who wanted to be free from the thing that had kept them bound for so long needed greater frequency to help develop their focus so that they could be free from the things that God had set them free from. So we can't be so set on it can only happen on Sunday or it can only happen on Saturday. Sometimes it needs to happen 7 days a week. If you really want to see people be freed from the things that God has set them free from. My ideal world is that the church operates 24/7, right? And I mean like 24/7, you could come in here and there's a good word. Simon's up here preaching at 3 a.m., right? I'm preaching at 5 a.m. It's going, you know, it's like you come in anytime you need, it's there. You got teaching going on at any time because we understand in our human experience, sometimes you need the doors of the church to be open. And hours that ain't on the schedule, amen. Sometimes you need to know, hey, I need to get a word, and I know that I have access to God myself, but I know me, I need some company, right? I need some company that will help me to move the way that God wants me to move. So these folks in the early church, they had trusted relationships. They understood that they were not just a me, but they were a we. They understood that they were a we that had to be filled with the Spirit. They understood that they were a we that had to understand their frequency and the focus of their fellowship. They understand that they were a we and they had to be concerned about what they were feeding. And they understood that they were a we and they had to have a fearless public witness so that as they were living in trusted relationships, they would become all that God would have them to become. And as we think about 2025, as we think about the days that God may give us to see this year, I want us to be committed to being a we. I want us to be committed to saying, hey, I'm a right arm, and I thank God for the left arm. I'm a right pinky toe. Some of y'all don't show your toes. Amen. And I'm a left big toe, and we're all happy. I'm an eye, I'm an ear, I'm a mouth, I'm a whatever, and all of us are together because we understand that the Lord perfectly added us to the church. God perfectly saw our gifting, God perfectly shaped us, God perfectly made us, and God said, right here, I can build a powerful body of believers that will transform the culture and the community of the days in which we live. That's what God is saying to us. That's what God is saying to us as brothers and sisters today. Let's be a healthy we. Let's be a healthy we. Say it with me. Let's be a healthy we. One more time.
Let's be a healthy we.
Yeah. We need each other. We need each other. We need each other. We need each other. And when we realize that, yes, who I am in Christ, yes, thank God for that. He has redeemed me. He has saved me. He has justified me by faith. I am his. He is mine. And God has taken a person who has been justified, and God has put me in a body of believers to be sanctified. And as we are being sanctified, we understand that ultimately, eternally, we shall be glorified because of Jesus Christ. And so we are here today, brothers and sisters, to be who we are, and that is to be a healthy we. And the world ain't ready. But the world needs us. The world's not ready, but the world needs us. You can't be a we, though, until the me has come to be and surrendered your life. Can't be a part of the we until the me has come forward and says, God, I don't know what to do but to trust you. I don't know what to do but to surrender to you. And God says to you, for God so loved the world, that gave my only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus extends the invitation and says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, it's lonely being a me all by yourself. It's lonely being broken. It's hard being alone. He says, but I have come that you might have life. He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have life more abundantly.
Thank you, Lord.
He says, I want to see a we that's living abundantly. I want to see a we that shines to the nations because of the abundant living. I want to see a we that is so overflowing with the power of the Holy Spirit. Simon texted me the other night, and I'm driving by, and he says, man, it's going crazy. I said, bro, I know it's crazy. I'm driving by outside praying, getting prepared for the day, and I can feel the Spirit through the walls. I said, bro, that's how it ought to be with us as we live our lives, that people should just come around us and it smack them in the head. They say, what was that? That's the overflow, right? That's the overflow. I'm blessed and it's overflowing. There should be people around you. There should be people whose lives are better simply because of your overflow. Got some dogs at my house. I got one dog. I got two grandchildren and they're frequently in the house. They live with us and they're just toddlers. And I got this one dog who follows them around everywhere. Why? Because he knows there's going to be some overflow. He knows that whatever I put on their plate, I'm going to get some. And there ought to be people who are around us that say, I just like to hang out with Simon because there's going to be some overflow. I love hanging out with those people of God because I know I'm going to get some overflow. So I give you permission. Be like my little dog at home. You see, Simon just what you doing? So I know there's about to be some overflow, man. You feel it. I just need some overflow. And don't be scared when people start following you like that because they just want some overflow. They want to see the power of God flowing out of you. And they say, I want to be blessed like that. Is that right? Give God praise today for his word. Amen. What we know is this, is that we are called to be a healthy we. And that's what God has called us to do. And for such a time as this, we are ready to be all that he has given us life to be. Everybody ready? Yes. This week we're going to leave here and we're going to live the life that he has called us to live. We're going to shine because it's not going to be our feelings, but it's going to be our filling that drives us this week. Let me pray. Gracious God, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for the amazing men, women, boys, and girls, your sons, your daughters who are in this house, who are committed to you, who love you, and who desire to live for you as salt, as light, as cities on a hill, that the world might see our good works and give glory to our Father who is in heaven. We pray today, God, that you continue to cultivate within us trusted relationships, that you will do that by filling us, that you will do that, God, by ensuring that we are feeding on the right things, that you would do that, God, by ensuring our healthy, frequent, focused fellowship, and that you would do that, God, by ensuring and empowering our fearless public witness. Let us be a light to the nations. Let us be a voice to the nations that all might hear that you still call humanity. You still call humanity to be saved because it is your heart that no one perish. And so God, as this word goes forth today, we pray that you deliver in the house. We pray that you deliver online. We pray, God, that you deliver in places that we're not even thinking about because they hear from you today. So we love you, God. We praise you. We thank you for making us the family that we are. And we press forward in trusted relationships for the glory of God for such a time as this. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen.
Amen.